John's Gospel, chapter number 11. We'll stand and honor the reading of the Word of God. I appreciate the good Sunday school message today. And if this wasn't burning on me so, I would just mash rewind and let him go through that again. We all need to hear what was said this morning. Matter of fact, all through radio land, they need to hear it. We have left the old paths in many places. We've turned to entertainment and events. And one of the biggest thing of excuses that's killing our Baptist churches. Let me tell you something. Jesus is still high and holy. And the Bible's still true. And the Holy Ghost will never lead you into error. And I'm glad we can stay with the old stuff. And I am reminded, God said, "For I'm the Lord and I change not." And boy, how we need to get back to what used to work. And that is the preaching of the Word of God. Now in John's Gospel, chapter number 11, the Bible said, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick." And when Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when He had heard, therefore, that He was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith to His disciples, "Let us go unto Judea again." And His disciples say unto Him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and you goest Thou thither again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? And if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them," business fixing to go to picking up now, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Jesus spake of his death. They thought he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. But nevertheless, let us go unto him." You may be seated this morning. Appreciate you standing in observance of the reading of the Word of God. I'm interested in verse number 15 today, where Jesus said, "Let us go unto Him." And I won't preach on this simple topic on, hold on, help is on the way. Hold on, help is on the way. He said, in spite of what's going on, nevertheless, let us go unto Him. Aren't you glad that help is on the way? Now, I want you to notice, first of all, there's a family's request. You'll notice, first of all, their place. The Bible said that they were from Bethany. That's not much of a little spot on the maps, no doubt just a little bitty ink mark. But so is Bowden, Georgia. Now, I'm glad that God knows their place this morning. I will say in my Christian walk of life, it's been times that I didn't even know where I was. But aren't you glad that Jesus knows your place? He knows where you are. And He knows where our little town is. Thank God for our Bethany. It may not mean much to a world up in New York City. But thank God, I'm glad He's put me right in the heart of the Bible Belt in Bowdoin, Georgia, where preaching's still real and Jesus still saves and people still love the Lord and go to church the old-fashioned way. Would somebody help me preach in the house this morning? Oh my, we see a family's request. We see their place and then we see their position. We see the sisters. I like that Bible word. Said the town of Mary and her sister Martha. We ought to thank God today that He's put us in the family. I'm glad He's put us in there by the blood of His Son. And so therefore we are sisters and brothers in the family of Christ. And you ought to be glad that you have a position in the body. Now, I like what Brother Adams said this morning. We need everybody in the body. We need everybody doing their part. A lot of times we think, well, we don't need that little pinky till you lose it. And we that thumb don't do much. And we think, boy, the lesser members. Well, let me ask you, who is a lesser member? You think that you're taller than somebody? You think you're a little better than somebody? Honey, there's no big ones and there's no little ones in the family of Christ. We're all individuals and we're all very much needed in the house of God. You say, well, preacher, you know, that elbow, we don't think much about it. Well, let me tell you something. The elbow's very important. Stick your arm out there and don't bend your elbow. Let me see you get a bite. Some of you's tongue so long you could reach it, amen? But I can tell you one thing, honey. Hey, we need that elbow this morning. And so there's a family request, their place, their position. But they had a problem. Their brother was sick. I wonder, is anybody in the house today got a problem? You say, well, preacher, I don't have no trouble. Well, hold on. The Bible said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble will be at your house before long. And I'm going to tell you today, everybody has a problem. They had a problem. But aren't you glad that Jesus is bigger than our problem? We see their position and their problem. But thank God for their petition. In verse number 3, his sister sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, aren't you glad of some people that can still pray? I'd rather have people praying for me than anything I know. Prayer moves the hand of God. Prayer moves the heart of God. And I like what it says about this certain individual that went after God. The Bible said, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair. God, give me a thought right there. She let her hair down. It do some of you good to let your hair down at your church house. Amen. Some of you way too starchy this morning. Hey, it do. Boy, the old saints of God used to wear the hair up in a bun. And buddy, when it would get on, they would shout the hairpin out of the hat. They'd leave out with a hair down. It'd do some of you good to let your hair down for Jesus. You'll let your hair down in the world. You'll let your hair down to ball field. Won't you give God a good shout for the glory this morning? Your problem is Baptist done told you you can't have fun in church. But you can have fun in church. Amen. I done passed that. I ain't let my hair down. I let it loose. Somebody say amen right there. And so we see their petition. Boy, they went unto Him. Ain't it a blessing that some people know where to go with a problem? Now, they sent unto the Lord, saying, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I wish we could learn from this type of praying.
They didn't tell him how to fix their problem. They just told him about their problem. I don't know if any of y'all are like me, but I love to tell the Lord how to handle things. I love to tell Him when to fix, and I love to put a date on it. Now, Lord, if You don't do it by this time, we're late. Because we're in this thing together. I'm not late, You late, Lord. We in this thing together. And so, boy, when I pray, I love to tell the Lord how to fix it. You know, everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of it. And so I can tell you how to fix your problem. And a lot of you can tell me how to fix my problem. But at the end of the day, we all got a problem. And so aren't you glad that the Lord knows how to handle our problem? Wouldn't it be a blessing if we could pray in that kind of faith and say, Lord, I have this need. I'm presenting to You this need. Now You fix it the way that it's best. Some of you think, now Lord, if I just had that job, you may not want the Lord to give you that job. You ought to pray and say, dear God, give me the job that I really need. A lot of you say, now I want that girl right there to marry. Boy, I want that girl. Well, let me tell you, honey, I found out there's a lot of boxes. It's a lot of wrappers. I like what Brother Dennis said. Good. The advertisement looks good, but on the inside of it, it ain't too good. My wife bought a new box of cereal last night out with Cheerios. It's got them nuts on it. And I said, man, I'm a grazer. I mean, I eat all day long. I say, hallelujah. She's brought something home I like. It looks so inviting, so good on that box. I poured me a bowl last night, and let me save you some heartache and problems. Don't buy the new Cheerio product. A dog wouldn't eat that mess. And a lot of times we say, Lord, we know what we need. Give me that. Give me that. You know, the prodigal son got in a big problem when he demanded for the Lord to give him what he thought he ought to have. His problem started when his praying got wrong. And boy, we ought to say, dear God, not my will, but Thy will be done. Oh, we need the Lord to help us with our problem. So here today we see the family's request. But number 2 in verse 4, we see a fervent reply. The Lord showed me something here so simple yesterday. The Bible said in verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death. Now what are you saying, preacher? Well, a fervent reply. Now He did reply, but He just didn't tell Mary and Martha about it. And a lot of times we say, Lord, aren't You hearing what I'm saying? Don't You really care? Yes, He does care. But just because He ain't telling you about it don't mean that He ain't doing something about it. A lot of times we say, Lord, I just wish You'd come back and tell me that You've heard about it. Well, a lot of times, let me tell you, silence is golden. And so today we see this fervent reply. Now I want you to notice in verse number 5, He loved them. Now the Bible said in verse number 6, when He heard that He was sick, He stayed 2 days still in the same place where He was. Now, I want to ask you something. Have you ever called on God and He didn't just come over there right then? Well, why didn't He? Well, it wasn't because He didn't love them. Because He said this in verse 5. He said, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Just because God's not come running over there don't mean that He don't love us. And then number 2, we see He loved them, but secondly, He listened to them. In verse 6, the Bible says, and when He had heard, therefore, that He was sick. Aren't you glad we got a God that can hear? I was looking at the Masters yesterday. You know, Tiger Woods, he's been on top of the world. What Tiger needs to figure out is that little old Buddha God he's been a-praying to can't hear him. Well, I'll get on this side of church this morning. You know, Buddha's in the grave. He didn't get up. Ain't you glad we got a God that can hear us? Amen. If I was on top of the world and got knocked down, I'd be trying to talk to somebody that could help me. And that's just like some of you. I wonder why you talking to that money God. He can't do nothing for you. I wonder why some of you down there at the racetracks talking to the Jeff Gordon God. He can't do nothing for you. Matter of fact, we've done turned our God into such a Mickey Mouse. We think that He's just some type of old fella up in the corner in a rocking chair. Let me tell you, He's God Almighty this morning. And He runs and rules as He sees fit. And He'll always have the last say-so in your life and my life. Boy, a lot of times we talking to the wrong God, that checkbook God. He's going to run out on some of you one of these days. He's going to run out of ink on you. And boy, the mom and daddy God that you're running to for their advice. Well, let me tell you, my daddy ain't here no more. But I sure do got somebody that's never left me. And that's my Father in heaven this morning. Oh, who are you talking to? I'm glad that He listened to them. Aren't you glad you got a God that'll listen to you? Wouldn't it be a blessing, ladies, if some of you had a husband would listen to you? Amen? I mean, isn't that one of your biggest complaints about marriage? He just don't hear what I got to say? I need me one of them little bobblehead dogs up here this morning. A lot of times I'll ask my wife something. I say, well, honey, what do you think? She said, well, I done told you. I said, well, you didn't tell me, did you? She said, yeah, you just wasn't listening. Well, aren't you glad we got a God that'll listen? Aren't you glad we got a God that loves us? Or a God that listens to us? And then I want to tell you on this fervent reply, He was lessening them. He was giving them a lesson about life. A lot of times God gives us a great lesson, don't He? And I've noticed this, Brother Mike, when I fall hard, I learn about it. And you know, if God wouldn't let us fall sometimes and hit sort of hard, we wouldn't remember what He's got to say, would we? He's lessening them. Can I tell you, just because He's not run over there and fixed your problem, don't mean that He don't care. It don't mean that He don't love you. It just means He's doing something on His own time. Anybody impatient, or is that just me? Boy, I wish that new wing was done built. Brother Rodney said the other day, 6 months in the mint. 6 months? Lord, Sherman burnt down Atlanta less than 6 months. 6 months? How many times have you asked God, well, God, I need you to do this today, Lord. I sure do need you to. I mean, there's been something, Brother Jerry, I've been praying for a couple of years, and it seems like God ain't hearing me. But let me tell you, He ain't hearing me. He's doing something for me by doing that better than if He'd have run over there the next morning. He knows what He's doing. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love Him. Boy, He makes no mistakes, and God knows exactly what He's doing. Now notice this family's request and this fervent reply. But then notice, thirdly, there's a finding report. Now in verse number 7, He said, then after that, He said to His disciples, let us go into Judea again. And His disciples said to Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and you going over there again? You know, a lot of times we get our feelings hurt. And we say, well, now you know, I'm not going back there because somebody hurt my feeling. Not our Jesus. Let me ask you something. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to come back to that church because somebody offended me. Somebody said something cross to me. Well, let me ask, have they thrown rocks at you? Down there at Walmart, wonder what they done to you, but you're still down there shopping. Boy, our God is some kind of something. Matter of fact, it's amazing to me the places He goes back after people's throwed rocks at Him. You know, they said, Lord, you going back over there again? He said, I sure am. I'm going back in. Y'all going with me? They said, well, yeah, Lord, we're going to go over there with you. Aren't you glad He comes back around even though you throwed rocks at Him? How many times when I was a lost man, God would try to present the gospel to me and I was just throwing rocks at Him. I said, Lord, I don't want your Bible. I don't want your church. I don't want your preacher. I don't want nothing that you've got. I want to do things just the way I'm doing. But in spite of me, He loved me enough, He come back down to my house. That's just like our God, full of mercy and compassion and long suffering. I want to ask some of you families something here this morning. I'm going to put things right in right perspective while it's quiet. You ever been offended at the ball field? Why don't you quit going down there? I can tell you what your problem is. Your priority ain't right. People down there, they'll get you parking place. You set no dirty bleachers, have to go home and get a bath after you sit out there in that dust bowl. Somebody say amen. They go get a $2 Coca-Cola that they ain't got 8 cents in, and they trip and pour it all over you, and you just a laughing and a smiling. And your little boy or your little girl strikes out, and they go to booing you young'uns, and you just go right back down there. Boy, somebody's a preaching this morning. Ain't that something? Now, you think about when one of your young'uns get up to bat, folk go to boo, and I would never take my young'uns back down that park. Oh, but you'll get right back down there. And then you'll get right back to practice. And I can tell some of you don't like this, but you know what? We're not in the entertainment business. We in preaching business. And we just won't try to help you this morning. But you'll show right back up for practice. Just like nothing never happened. I wish we could get like that. I wonder, is souls worth more than a ball game? I wonder when you get to heaven, do you think God's going to congratulate you because you taught Johnny how to bat or throw the ball? A lot of you are very involved in your kids' living. You better get involved in their dying. I'm just trying to help you this morning. And even though Jesus was offended, it didn't detour Him from what He needed to be doing. And boy, if you'll give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Matter of fact, y'all have hurt my feelings because you ain't big on this sermon this morning. I preached it last night and they shouted the house down. That's exactly right. They said, preacher, boy, that's just good stuff. Y'all sitting right here like a calf at a new gate. Of course, I sensed it in Sunday school this morning. I'm not going to get down about it. I'm glad Jesus saves. It's all about priority. You see, Jesus, He had a great illustration here. And it really did help me in my life. There's a finding report. First of all, the reason He don't come running to me, it's all about glory. Look what He said. He said this in verse number 5 of John 11. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. But look in verse 4. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, not only did God save you to keep you out of hell, but He saved you to get the glory out of it. How much glory are we giving to God? How much glory are we giving to Him? It's okay to raise your hands. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to love one another. Give God the glory. You see, there's a finding report. We found out that the reason He stayed 2 days in the same place, it's about glory. Boy, you know something? When things really get to be a problem and you can't handle it and you can't fix it, any of y'all with children, you think when they got married that they wouldn't need you no more. But you know why? They need you more now than they've ever needed you. Any of them ever come back and say, well, Daddy, would you do this or do that and fix this and handle it? But there's coming a time in your life where you're not going to be able to fix it. But when He walks in, takes care of it, you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, whoo, to God be the glory. I told church last night, I said, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm just gun barrel straight honest. And pastoring a church is by experience. You can read every book anybody's ever wrote about it. And it's just a Sunday to Sunday process, just like being a Christian. It's all kind of books on being a Christian, but you've got to learn how to walk and be a Christian. But you know something? When we built this facility, I kept waiting for the money crowd to show up. But I ought to know better than that. And then I kept looking around. You know, God, what are you doing? And God showed me something that has made a lasting impression. When we look around here and just see what God's done here, we can't put our name on nothing. We can't say, I wrote that check and did that. All we can say is, He did it. He did it. You know, there's been a lot of people that have added to you, maybe getting saved or being faithful in the church. God's used people. But let me tell you what, at the end of the day, it's all about Him and what He's done for. God saved this little old boy here Friday. You know what? To God be the glory and God be the honor. For He loves to get the glory out of it. Matter of fact, He said this. I want to give you a balance this morning. You remember John 6:44, the Bible says, no man comes to the Father except one has sent Him, draw him, and I'll raise him at the last day. It takes the Holy Spirit to convict a sinner. But let me give you some balance over there. He said, Jesus said these words, if I be lifted, I'll draw all men unto me. We don't need to lift ourselves. We need to lift the Savior. To Him be the honor and the glory this morning. Now, we notice what Jesus is doing. He's doing this for glory. There's a finding report. He does things for His glory. And then we find not only about glory, we find something about grace. In verse number 8, as I've alluded to before, He went back to where people mistreated Him. You ought to thank God it's about grace this morning. Boy, I'm glad we're saved by grace through faith. And I'm glad in spite of what I've done, He saved me in spite of me. Isn't that amazing how much Christ loved us and died for us, but yet He forgave us for all that we've done? That's grace, friend. And I thank God for grace. You know what? We need grace in our homes. We need grace where we work. We need grace in our church. We need to live by grace. We got saved by grace. Now let's put some grace on and live by grace. It is a finding report. It's about glory. It's about grace. And then verse 11, it's about the grave. Now let me ask you something. He said, I go to awake my friend out of his sleep. Lazarus is in the grave asleep. It does my heart good to realize if Christ is my friend on this side of the grave as He was Lazarus, He'll be my friend on the other side of the grave. Now, I don't want to get on the first bus load this morning. But I'm going to tell you what, if my bus pulls up today, I ain't got to get on there and hold my head down. I can get on there and say, now, Lord, I'm glad You're my friend. I'm glad heaven's my home. And I realize I'm just here by the grace of God this morning. So He taught us something about the grave. Let me ask you something. When that grave gets you, and that grave, every one of us is headed there unless the rapture comes. Some of us have missed the grave. Will it hold you? Will it keep you? Or will it just be a stepping stone right into glory? When you die, will hell be your home or will heaven be your home? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're going to heaven, you've got to be saved. If you die a lost man, that grave's going to get you and put you right into a devil's hell. But boy, I'm glad that Jesus is my friend.
And you know this, I've got a lot of friends in this place, a lot of friends out of here, but probably we're all just one bad crossword or one wrong dealing to lose our friendship. But there's one. He said, of all the people that's ever walked through here, Brother Jerry, there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm glad he is our friend this morning. Let me ask you, will he be your friend or your foe? And so here, in conclusion today, I want to tell you, hold on. Help is on the way. Jesus is coming. There's a family's request. There's a fervent reply. There's a finding report. But there's a faithful return. Look what he said in verse number 15. He looked around and he told them in John 11, and this is what he said. He said, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now, he's going to arrive with the saints. He brought a crowd back with him over there to Mary and Martha. And let me tell you something. Jesus is coming back with the saints. Won't that be a blessing on that reunion day when Jesus gets here and comes back with the saints of God? I wish I could have told the old man of God that won me the Lord one last time that I loved him. Boy, I wish right now I could walk over to his porch and sit down and tell him how grateful I was that he gave his life to Christ. But you know, on this faithful return, he's going to arrive with the saints. But number two, he's going to do just what he done at this town. He's going to wake the sleeping. He come over there and he cried and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Well, if you hadn't spoke to Lazarus, they're about in the graveyard that got up. Aren't you glad he knows your name? You remember the day when he called your name and said, come forth. Come out of the graveyard. And I tell you, another thing that's going to do on this faithful return, it's going to astound society. People laughs at you talking about the return of the Lord. As Brother Adam spoke about this morning, we live in a lukewarm society, and while they think you're crazy to believe that Jesus is going to return, graves are going to open, and we that are saved is going to be caught up with them in the clouds, and we're forever going to be with the Lord. Now, preacher, you said this. You said help was on the way. Miss Julie, I want you to come sing that song that you sung this morning. And I want to show you a great illustration the Lord showed me about help is on the way. Can I tell you this? Jesus didn't come over there for 2 days. Matter of fact, the Bible said when he got over there, it had been 4 days. And Martha said, Lord, I don't know why you're doing this, because by now he stinketh. Lord, you're way too late. Can I tell you, when Jesus comes back, he's going to fix it all. Because heaven's going to fix it all. Ain't no sense in you trying to get even. Ain't no sense in you trying to figure everything out. What you need to do is just trust the God of glory. That he makes no mistake. Because when Jesus came back over there to Bethany, he fixed things. And can I tell you, when Jesus comes back, he's going to fix things. I'm glad we're going to heaven. And I'm glad that all these heartaches will be gone, all these fears and tears, all these doubts and dangers and depressions, it'll be gone. Because Jesus is going to fix it all when he comes. Can I tell you this morning, good advice to you, 2 things, I'm done. Number one, if it don't matter in 100 years, let it go. Jesus is going to fix it all. Our family's done wrong, but who hadn't been done wrong? I'm not going to walk around with a chip on my shoulder and hold a vendetta about life. Because when Jesus comes back, Brother Mike, he's going to settle things. Judge not that you be not judged, is what he said. Number two, if I wasn't saved this morning, I'd come running an old-fashioned altar. And I'd listen to the voice that was calling me. Because he knows your name. He knows where you are. He loves you enough to save you today. Families, have you got something that you really need help with? Well, can I tell you, help is on the way. Brother Donald, when Jesus gets here, he's going to fix it all. Boy, I can hardly wait.